Thank you all very much. It's a joy to be your pastor. We love the work of the ministry and we love you. You know, and it's because we love God and love people that we're here. Otherwise, you know, if you're in this for any other reason than to fulfill what God's asked you to do, you're just not going to make it. And those of you who have, Tracy's back there nodding her head, yes, because she knows. Her mom was a pastor. She knows the labor. You know, it's not just Sunday morning. It's not just a message. It's all the time. And when there's a crisis, one of us is here. And we have different crises that go on in this building. But the person that probably works the hardest is Pastor Vanessa, Prophet Vanessa. She was ordained under Christian International when she was pregnant for Javen. So that's been 16 years ago. And a seer, prophet, a Issachar, anointing, understanding the time, the season, and how we should be moving in those seasons. And so I really honor her today. She is a leader of leaders and an amazing teacher. You haven't got to hear all that she is, but she stays in the background because it's not her season. God hasn't released her to come forward, but she's always praying. She's always watching. She's always looking out for the body of Christ, and she loves the church. The Lord told me when she turned 16, we would go into full-time ministry. So we've been in this since 1993, and Vanessa has been our right arm since she was 16. And prior to that, did everything else that we did, because we've been in ministry since we've been married, because Leonard was a head elder. So there were many responsibilities, many times. The children went with us, because that's where we should have the children, in the house of the Lord. That's how they learn. And sometimes we think children laying on the floor, doing their activity sheet or what else, whatever, that they're not listening. They're listening. Always amazed us at when we would get home how much the children absorbed. But I thank you so much. It's an honor. It's an honor. There's nothing else I would want to do. I said yes to the Lord. In third grade, he told me I would pastor. And I think I shared that with the church before. And I didn't know then that women didn't pastor, according to I don't know who. But it wasn't according to the Lord. Hallelujah. But anyway, we're going to get started. It's Pastor Appreciation Sunday, and I did want to talk about today on the topic of honor. And the number one thing that we honor is we honor God above everything else. Amen? And we're going to take a look at how the importance of honoring pastors and spiritual oversight as we go through our faith journey. And then we're going to take a look at how we honor God in our everyday life. So, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for this message this morning. Lord, we want to honor you with our lives above everything. And so, Lord, we just pray that it sinks down inside of us what your word says. And our key scripture today is from 1 Timothy 5:17. It says, let elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. So let's continue. Charles Spurgeon, he was a respected preacher. And he once said that a good character, when established, is not necessarily overthrown and is a kind of heavenly heritage. And it's true. When we honor God, when we honor those who are our pastors and elders, and we personally strive to live an honorable life, we're building a legacy that's grounded in God's love and truth. So, honoring God above all is the first thing we're going to look at. The first commandment that was given to us in Exodus was, you shall have no other gods before me. And this commandment is straightforward, and yet it's often one of the hardest things to live out in our lives, because in our daily lives we are pulled in so many different directions. Something's always trying to get our attention. Something's trying to get our allegiance and our commitment. It can be from our careers, our relationships, our personal ambitions. It's just easy to let these things take precedence over our devotion to God. But truly, honor God above all else. And if we're going to do that, we must be willing to put Him first in every aspect of our life. Next point, honoring God is about more than just attending church services or participating in religious activities or life groups. It's about acknowledging Him as the source of all our blessings and the center of our lives. Every blessing comes from the Lord God Almighty. It's about living in a way that reflects His love and His grace to the world. It's about making choices that align with His will and purpose for our lives. And this might mean sacrificing our own desires or comfort for the sake of His kingdom. And it might mean standing up for what is right, even when it's unpopular, or even when it's inconvenient. And it might mean giving generously of our time, of our talents, and serving others. And we look at Christ and how He served, and He honored His Father. And so with our lives, we honor Him when we are willing to serve others. Honoring God also means trusting Him in all our circumstances. You know, it's easy to trust God when things are going well. Somebody say amen. But what about when we face challenges or uncertainties? Do we still honor Him? So trusting God in difficult times is a powerful way to honor Him. It shows that we believe in His goodness. Thank you, Lord. We believe in His power. We believe in His promises, even when we can't see our way forward. It shows that our faith in Him is not dependent upon our circumstances, but on His unchanging character. Hallelujah. You know, it's difficult sometimes not to look at circumstances. You know, we talked last week about trusting in God's plan, even when we can't see the path ahead. It's about stepping out in faith, even when the way seems impossible. It's about moving forward, even when we're tested and we're resisting that fear and that doubt. Has anybody ever had fear and doubt? In the middle of a situation, you don't know what to do, but you kind of know what to do, but you're afraid to do it. You know, Mark 11:23 says, I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown in the sea, and it will happen, but you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Doubt is a root that can get inside of us, and you know that you know you're supposed to do something, but then all of these other thoughts start to bombard you. And so then you can't make a decision. Have you ever been in a situation where you knew you're just tossing this thing back and forth and back and forth, and you know it can take up and waste so much of our time? Somebody say amen. Because, you know, we talked last week about faith is not a blind leap into the unknown. And often people will say, well, I'm just going to take a leap of faith. But we talked about it last week, that it's the substance of things hoped for. And this is the definition. So faith is a confident step into the known. It's knowing that God is who He says He is, and that He will do what He says He will do. It's knowing that God is faithful even when we're faithless. So we listen to him, we follow him, and we begin to move. It was the children of Israel. They were standing right at the edge of that Red Sea. And they were standing and they were crying to God. And God said, why are you crying? Go ahead, move forward. And so sometimes we just stand and cry out to God when God's already told us, showed us what we're supposed to do, but we're resisting it. So I'm encouraging you today, if that's you, move forward. Follow the Lord. And we honor God because we obey him. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So once again, obedience not always easy. It requires some humility, self-discipline, and sometimes courage. But when we choose to obey God, even when it's hard, we honor him. And you know what? When you choose to obey God, it is at that point that he releases to you the strength and the wisdom and the ability to do it. Now, the question is asked in the Bible, why do you halt between two opinions? Choose who you're going to serve. So when we make up our mind, when we choose God and we begin to move forward, he releases all the provision that we need to do what he's asked us to do and the strength and the ability. So why do we wait so long? Have you ever wondered? After you've procrastinated and procrastinated something, have you ever asked yourself, why in the world did I wait so long to do that? Come on. All right, we're going to go on. Lastly, honoring God means worshiping him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that verse is in Luke 10:27. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So worship isn't just about singing songs, and we love to sing songs, and we love to pray, and we love to express our love and adoration and gratitude to the Lord. And in addition to all of that, it's about surrendering our lives to him in complete devotion and reverence. Because when we worship God in spirit and in truth, we honor him in the highest way possible. And he said, my eye is looking for those who will worship me in spirit and in truth. So it's about singing and worshiping and praying. But you know, it's about when you walk out these doors that you continue to live a life that gives honor to God, that you consider him in your everyday choices. Another scripture I thought of about honor is in Ephesians 6:2-3 that says, honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And this is the first commandment that was given with a promise. If you want to live long in the earth and live well, then honor your father and mother. You may not... God picked your father and mother, right? Did you pick them? No. God chose our natural family. And did you know God chooses your spiritual family? He's the one that gets you to the place that he wants you to be. He has assigned us to spiritual families because he knows what we need to grow, to be nourished, to develop our talents, our gifts. And he brings us all together. And it just is like a beautiful orchestra when we're all together worshiping the Lord, serving God, using our gifts, our talents, our abilities to accomplish what he wants accomplished. It's like this beautiful orchestra. with such beautiful harmony. And that's what I love about our leadership team. And that's what I love about the folks that God brings to the river. If you have something else on your mind, you end up not staying here. People end up coming in and going out. And people say, what happened to them? Well, if they're not assigned here, then they shouldn't be here. They need to get to where they're assigned. Because God has families for each one of us that we're going to grow in. So the importance of honoring pastors, we're going to talk about that for a few minutes. Pastors are shepherds of our spiritual journey. They guide us, teach us, and lead us closer to God. They are the ones who labor in preaching and teaching, and often sacrificing their own comfort and convenience for the sake of the flock. And they are the ones who stand in the gap, intercede for us in prayer, and lead us in worship. They are the ones who console us in times of trouble, comfort us in times of sorrow, and rejoice with us in times of joy. And so everyone needs a pastor. Leonard and I have a pastor. His name's Pastor Leon. And so everyone needs a pastor. Everyone should be in a flock somewhere, because pastors watch over your soul. And it's important. You know, you give your heart to the Lord, you're born again by the Spirit of God, and then you have the soul to deal with. That's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And it is on this transformation journey that God is changing us, transforming us, renewing our minds every day. My mind gets renewed every day. I pray, God, renew my mind today. Let me see something in your word that renews me. We don't want to become stagnant. We want to continue to have the Lord nourish our souls and to continue. You know, he's the good shepherd. He watches over his sheep. He watches over your soul. Hallelujah. So in 1 Timothy, Paul instructs us to consider the elders who rule well. You know that they are worthy of double honor. And that's about respect and appreciation and recognition. It's about acknowledging the hard work, the dedication and sacrifice that goes into shepherding the flock. It's about showing your pastors and valuing them, not just because of what they do, but for who they are. For who they are. And I could say so much. Pastor Cheryl and Deacon Jerome, you know, they are quality people that God sent to the River of Life when we were still downtown in the theater. He sent them. And we love them. And they're just, a lot of their friends left the church to go other places. But the Lord told them to stay here. And they have been faithful. And they are amazing to work with. And just quality people. Quality people. Pastor Cheryl didn't realize she was a care pastor, and I saw that anointing and call upon her life. And when I talked to her about being ordained as a care pastor, she said, really? And then, you know what? Once she got into it and that anointing hit her, she was like, I love this. Because that's who God made her to be. And that's why you need apostles and prophets that can see the gift that's in your life, that we can lay hands on you and stir up that gift, that you can begin to flow and grow in everything that God has for you, because it benefits the body of Christ. It causes the church to be stronger. That gift isn't for you, it's for those around you and for your family. And just recognizing, you know, Pastor Cheryl didn't realize that, because when you have that gift and that anointing, you naturally do those things. You just naturally do them, and you don't think they're anything special. But when you come under the hand of God and the spigot of God, and he begins to activate and pour out his anointing, hallelujah, everything goes to another level. God's taken us all to another level. Somebody say amen. But pastors pray for you. They hold you up in prayer. They stand in the gap. You know, it's an honor to pray for people. And we still have people call us, people that used to attend church here. It's interesting because Carol Pikunka, she'll say, well, they always know who to call. They don't come to church here, but they, you know, a lot of people sure to call you for prayer. And you know what? I love it. I love it because no matter if they're connected here or connected someplace else, we're all connected to the body of Christ for the greater good. Amen? To establish the kingdom of God. And so we never look at each other as an enemy or something. No, we are all in God's family. And God assigns us different places, and that's okay. There's a lot of ministers that have come out of this place that are working other places. And we thank God for that. Now, would I like everyone to be here? Yes. Hey, moms, do you like everyone to be home around your table? But, you know, they wander in. It's just kind of nice. They wander in, and we get to see them, and you get to meet some of them that you've never met before. But anyway, John Calvin was a theologian, and he said, pastors are not appointed to domineer over the churches, but to declare the word of God and to lead people to Christ, each according to his office. And so we're not to be domineering and controlling. I don't control. I'm not controlling. I always said I didn't twist your arm to get you here. I'm not going to twist your arm to stay here. You know, God is the person that is in charge of our lives. What we're responsible for is to yield ourselves to the will of God. And sometimes he'll take you to a place where he really begins to work in your heart and soul. And you say, I don't like this. This just doesn't feel very comfortable. There must be something wrong with that church. I'm just going to leave. And so when people leave, you know what happens? They still have the same problem. You know, people say, I'm going to just move. And it's like, well, go ahead and move, but you'll still be there. Because you are wherever you go. So at some point in time, God gets them to a place where they can deal with it. But, you know, it's like, thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that convicts us. It never feels good. It doesn't feel good. But, you know, when you take care of it, wow. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? I don't even know quite how to put it into words, but, you know, when it's all taken care of, you just feel like a new person. So honoring our leaders is a privilege. It's an opportunity for us to show our gratitude for the men and women of God who have dedicated their lives to serving God and his people. And so we honor pastors. We honor them not with just our words, but with our actions, and show them love and respect and appreciation that they richly deserve. Nobody knows until you're a pastor. And if that's your call, or apostle or prophet, planting a church as an apostle and prophet has been an amazing adventure. And so much has happened over the years that we've just seen God supernaturally moving and leading and guiding us. But you know, sometimes you're just like the children of Israel on the edge of that Red Sea and wondering how the way is going to open up. Hallelujah. But God does it. God does it. And over the years, we've gotten comfortable and just rest in God, because that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to rest in him. We can't make things happen. We can't change things, but we can rest in the one who can do it. Doesn't do any good to get yourself all worked up. So the last point is living with honor in our own lives. And in 1 Peter 2:17, it says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And Romans 12:9-13 says, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share the Lord's people. Share with the Lord's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. So living with honor in our own lives is a reflection of our relationship with God. It's about making choices that align with God's commandments and God's will for our life. It means being kind, even when others aren't. It means being patient, even when you're in a hurry. Now, that one always convicts me. Being patient, even when you're in a hurry. It's about showing love to everyone we meet, just as Jesus did. And living with honor also means being responsible. It means taking ownership of our actions and being accountable for our mistakes. And it's about making amends when we've wronged others and seeking forgiveness from both them and God. And living with honor involves being faithful. This means being loyal to our commitments, whether they're with our spouses or with an employee or our employer or our friends. It's also about being faithful to God and trusting in His promises and obeying His commandments. Being faithful, being a person of your word. You know, that's one thing I love about our leadership team and those that serve faithfully here. If they say they're going to do something, they're going to do it. We can count on their word. And they're always free to say they can't do it. Because everyone has certain time frames that they work within. So everyone has certain assignments and responsibilities they have to accomplish. They may not be able to do everything that needs to be done or that they're asked to do. And they're always free to say, no, I can't do that. Because with us, your family commitment is above everything else. Don't walk away from your family and neglect your family to do something extra at church. Does that make sense? God is faithful. He gets things done. Leslie shows up in the middle of the night, I think, and does the landscaping. Hallelujah. I'll look out my office window, and there she is out there working, you know, like a little church mouse. She just showed up to take care of stuff. And you know what? God will put things in people's hearts to get it done, and it gets done. And we so appreciate that. We appreciate that. But we definitely don't ever want someone's family to feel like, oh, there you go again. Because we grew up in a church where we went to church four times a week. Four. Someone say four. Four times a week. Plus, we volunteered and did a lot of extra stuff because the church, you know, the people in the church kept the church moving and cleaned and repaired and whatever else needed to be done. So we could just get really wrapped up in that very easily. And you know, it's wonderful to work in the church. I love working in the church. I love it. And but never to the neglect of your children. I've counseled so many PKs, which are preacher's kids, that have said, my mom and dad were always gone. They were always taking care of somebody else's need, and they never really took care of mine. You know, I never want anyone on our leadership team to have their children say that. And that's what I'll tell my staff. If my children call, I'm available. Get me. And that's the way we should be, right? You know, your family is your first ministry. And honoring them, taking care of them, is the most important thing. They are your first ministry. If you don't do that well, the scripture says you should not even minister in the house of God. So it's what goes on at home that's really, really important. And I wasn't going to talk about all of that, but I'm just saying it's important. It's important. We put God first, and we take care of those who are assigned to us. Amen? Amen. We want to do that well because it is a witness to them that we love them, we honor them, we respect them. And at the same time, they know you love and honor God People that don't love and honor God aren't too concerned about taking care of their family and putting them first. Is that true? They're not too concerned about that. They're usually concerned about themselves and what they want and what they want to do. So let's go on. Living with honor means being humble. It means recognizing we're not perfect. I liked what Rhonda said this morning. She's perfectly unperfect. And we all are. Oh, Jesus is the only perfect person that ever walked on this earth. Hallelujah. And we're thankful that he gives us his robe of righteousness, right? Yeah, that he made us worthy, right? You know, it's all about Jesus. And so living with honor means being generous. It means giving freely of our time and our resources and our love. You know, the scripture says, owe no man love. Owe no man nothing but love, the scripture says. So we want to love well. Somebody say amen. You want to love well? Yes, we want to be a loving family. And we love God and love others. And the last thing is living with honor means being grateful. It's about acknowledging the blessings we've received and expressing our gratitude to God. And it's about appreciating the people in our lives and letting them know how much we appreciate them and how much they mean to us. You know, I grew up with a mom that was very thankful and taught us to be thankful. And I'm so thankful for just the little things. And I thank God a lot for many things because we grew up really poor. But yet we were always thankful to have clothes. We were always thankful to have food on our table. We may not have had the best clothes, but my mom would never let us go anywhere with a hole in our clothes. She would always mend our clothes and make sure that we looked clean. She said, we might be poor, but we're not going to go around dirty. Hallelujah. And so she'd scrub us up good. But, you know, and just being thankful. I'm just thankful for the little things. Thankful for friends and family and for all of you and for the people. It was so good to hug Teresa this morning. And you know what? Teresa Slayball, we go way back. Just so glad to be able to hug her this morning. I had no idea Ashley was her daughter. I'm just like, I knew Ashley was a Slayball, but I had no idea how she was connected into those Slayballs. And so I learned something totally new this morning. Absolutely love it. And I should have known that just from looking at you, Ashley, that was your mama. But praise God. Just love people. Love people. That's the most important thing. Loving God, loving others shows that we honor him above everything else. So we're going to conclude today. Honoring God, honoring our pastors, and living an honorable life is all about making Jesus the center and appreciating those who help us on our faith journey. There's been so many people help me on my faith journey. And I am so grateful and so thankful for every one of them. And just reflecting God's love and grace in all that we do. And remember that when we honor God, we're building a legacy that's grounded in his love and truth. We're building a legacy. You want to be known as a person that loved God. Right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's just bow our heads. Or how about if we just stand and we're going to bow our heads and pray. And the praise team, I hear them behind me. They're ready to lead us in a song. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to honor each other daily, Lord, and to especially honor you, Lord, with our words. Your word says, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming us from sin. Thank you for assigning us together as a family, Lord. I thank you for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you today, And we honor the pastors, and we honor the elders, and we honor the deacons and all that serve well in the house of the Lord. Father, we ask that that reflection of your love and grace would just be on us, that the world will see it. Bless us and strengthen us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So at this time, Jeff and highest praise. Thank you, Lord.